If we hustle, we might not have to come back this afternoon.
Hustle, hustle, hustle. There we go.
Double time.
That's it, yeah. I think you can chill. Mr. Porter, I'll cancel my 15-minute PowerPoint presentation.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I thought we kind of agreed.
Getting ready for Finance and Budget Committee. David Porter, Chairman.
I'll direct your attention to the first three action items, 3.1, 2, and 3, that relate to the auditor's report and financial statements that were presented and recommended for approval at the committee meeting on April 2nd. And the first action item on the university report and financial statements reflects that there were no deficiencies, there were no notes of any action to be taken, and the representatives of Crow Harleth were here and made the presentation, and it was a very positive report. And action item 3.2 is a unique matter because it really is not an audit report. It's not an audit, but it's a report that's required for the WKYU station because of its contract with the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And then action item 3.3 is a report on the application of agreed upon procedures, NCAA compliance report. And this is not a report or anything representing an audit, but rather it's a disclosure that the accounting firm has to have us approve to show that they will abide by the NCAA bylaw 6231 as is set out in item 3.3. So I would entertain a motion to approve these three items.
Move acceptance of the three items.
Okay.
Second.
Second. Are there any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? And then action item 3.4 is a personnel action request, and for some of the newer members, you may recall, I believe in January we had a from time to time there are changes in positions, people rotating in and out, new positions created. So the approved budget is somewhat fluid. The purpose of this is to recommend approval of faculty and staff personnel actions as set out in this report to reflect the changes that have occurred since the adoption of the budget.
Move approval of the personnel action items.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Did you
have any comments on those items?
Making my job so easy. Thank you. No, all I wanted to add is that when you're talking about any entity with a budget that exceeds $300 million, we're a complex organization, multiple sources, a lot of individuals, and it's the audit reaffirms how well the institution is managed from top to bottom. You can't have a $300 million budget and think that the staff of finance and administration can have their finger on the pulse of everything. But it's a reaffirmation of the policies and procedures and the seriousness of the administration across the campus for for adhering to appropriate federal, state, and university procedures.
Before we leave the Finance Committee report, I want to give the board some indication of, and Robin will, we'll move to Robin in just a minute on a report of the Kentucky legislative session just ended. But before we do that, we live in interesting times. Robin will address the General Assembly, but we, as you know, we don't have a state budget. We are trying to put our budget together so that you'll have a budget to approve at a fall board meeting in June. It's a complex process. Ann and her staff are diligently at work trying to address that, making some assumptions. The reduction called for in the both the House and Senate versions are very similar. So we can project what that net what that reduction in our net base would be in either the House or the Senate version, and it's about $1.2 million in change for us in both versions. The two actions that we know have occurred is a action on the part of the General Assembly regarding increase in cost to us in our retirement systems, Kentucky Employees Retirement System and the Teachers Retirement System. That will affect what we have to devote to retirement packages for our employees. And we know that that cost for WKU is going to be about $1.6 million thereabouts, but that's a little bit fluid, but we're addressing those numbers. So that's a fixed cost that we're going to have this year. And the other thing is neither version of the budget includes maintenance and operation on the opening of new facilities. And we've got some buildings built by the Commonwealth with state revenue, state bonds that are opening or have opened, and we will have to fund the utilities and the maintenance and the operation of those buildings, and the state simply does not have the money to pay to operate the buildings that it is building right now. I say right now because this is the second session in a row or second budget that's been passed that does not fund maintenance and operations on state buildings. So that's a big caution sign for us, but a major budget challenge as we address our fixed costs going into the next year. So I just wanted you to be aware of those two things are having a dramatic impact on higher education, because higher education, unlike most other state agencies, is much about the place itself, the facilities, the buildings, and maintaining them. The reason that's pertinent is because we're going to have to make some assumptions. We're going to factor in those two unique fixed cost increases into all of our other fixed cost increases, which you'll see when the budget material that will be forthcoming to you. And we've got a significant fixed cost increase challenge in this next budget. And you just have to combine that with our state net budget reduction and state appropriations to get us to a number. The CPE meets tomorrow, which is why we're meeting today. And the presidents have a conference call at 3 o'clock this afternoon. So I don't know exactly what the tuition discussion will entail tomorrow at the CPE meeting. Normally, this would have been the meeting where a tuition increase would have been recommended to the Council on Post-Secondary Education. I don't know exactly what's going to happen tomorrow at the CPE meeting, because the dynamic of not having a state budget presents, an unusual circus. Not so unusual these days. This is the third time since I've been president that the General Assembly failed to pass a budget as it concluded its business and had to come back in special session to pass a budget. So that dynamic is in play while CPE deals with the matter of tuition at tomorrow's meeting. So we're looking at spreadsheets of 1, 3, 5, 7, 9% tuition increases, how they are juxtapositioned against the state budget reduction, having to cover M&O costs, having to cover increases in the state retirement system, expenses to the institutions that are now passed into legislation. It's a very complex set of numbers that Ann and her staff are trying to work with, and CPE may not act tomorrow.
may choose to wait until the special session takes place. We just don't know that. I don't know what the CFE is going to do tomorrow. So we've got a set of dynamics in play right now that affect us dramatically. And as Ann suggested, nearly a $360 million budget, a very complex budget that we're going to have to put together on some assumptions, because we can't wait till after a special session occurs and then get started on the budget. There's simply not time before fiscal year begins. And I will share with you that tuition is considered state revenue.
All of our money.
All of our money, but we have two unrestricted sources, tuition and state appropriations. The rest of our budget are often restricted sources, grants and contracts, auxiliary revenues, gifts, et cetera, et cetera. We can't change how that money is spent. That's set by the source of those funds. The only unrestricted sources we have are tuition and state appropriations. In round numbers, tuition, $150 million. State appropriations, $73 or $74 million, depending on the reduction. After the reduction, $71 million, something like that. Now, if by some reason a budget is not passed, am I getting into your report?
I'm here. Can you just keep on going? Usually I'm the gloom doom and despair in the room.
All right. If a budget is not passed, we shut down. We're not authorized to spend state appropriation or tuition revenues. And we'll be in the middle of a summer session. Now, that has never happened before. Probably won't happen. But the we'll know when we come back together in June to approve a budget. But I hope we have definitive circumstances that go into that budget discussion we'll have at a called meeting in June. So I just wanted this board to understand that the dynamics in play in the absence of a state budget right now, a special session coming up presumably, and both the political and the financial manners in which those variables are woven together into what we need to do to put a budget together, because the fixed cost increases will be in the $6 million plus range all together. Tuition increase is not going to cover that, so that's going to add to our budget reduction number. A lot of variables in play right now, so that's kind of a
given the lateness. What I've recommended is that we'll, obviously a budget is a fiscal plan. What we'll bring to you in June, we'll probably force an entry to make a budget reduction in one place and on the revenue and expense, and we'll come back in the fall meeting and have a budget reduction plan that addresses programmatically what we're going to do. But like as Dr. Ansel says, there's too much uncertainty about what the final reduction might be. And you've got to have a more thoughtful process. These reductions get harder and harder. So we may be faced with some more tough decisions. If it's a million or two, that's not something that I want to proceed quickly, nor does anyone else. So it'll be the fall meeting that will say let's align our financial plan with reality.
We'll try to keep you posted on those variables before the June 25 date, which is our special called budget meeting to approve a budget that would go into effect a week later on July 1. But we're trying to give ourselves as much time as possible to pull the dynamics together. So, Robin, please.
There's obviously no reason to talk about a budget since we don't have one. Anything I would say would be speculation, and you've already heard all of it. So, I do think when you met in committee at the last meeting, you heard about three pieces of legislation that we were working on, and at that point had, I think, a couple of them are still maybe in flux.
This has gone around. You should have this
everybody
report.
Everybody has this little memo at your place. I thought it would be easier to put it out at the break. Usually in a legislative session, the budget is our biggest issue. We're playing defense on a number of legislative items and not usually on the offense, looking for a number of pieces of legislation we can pass. Usually have a role to play in a lot of things, but that's most of the time from a defensive standpoint trying to improve things. This session, however, we had three pieces of legislation that we worked on from, where we were the community seeking the legislation. We went and worked with our colleagues at other institutions, and in some cases worked with folks outside of higher education to get legislation approved. Senate Bill 127 is the Doctor of Nursing Practice. That bill did pass. It has been signed by the governor and will go into effect. I believe the date will be sometime in July, and when all legislation goes into effect, allows us basically to go to CPE and seek approval to offer a doctor of nursing practice at WKU. The other comprehensive institutions can do the same. We, prior to this, did not have the authority to offer a doctoral program outside of education. So we were successful in getting that legislation passed. In order to offer the DNP, we do have to go through the process. The faculty regent voting issue, very important to regent mentor. We worked on this for a couple of years, trying to get to a point where we could pursue the legislation. Jody Richards did sponsor it. Essentially, we just couldn't allow the law didn't allow instructors to vote for the faculty regent. The general practice at all institutions has been to allow instructors to vote. We had a situation here a few years ago. The regent election was challenged, and the Attorney General took a look at it and said, no, they're correct, you cannot. It was challenged on the basis that we allow people to vote who aren't legally eligible to vote. And that was upheld by the Attorney General. So we had to seek a change in the statute. The change only affects the comprehensive universities. It does not affect UK or U of L or KCTCS. But anyway, we do now, and as of this year's faculty regional election, all faculty will be able to vote. And then the other piece of legislation...
They may vote in election, but they're still not eligible to run for a regent.
They cannot serve as a faculty regent, correct.
But tenure-track faculty are eligible to run.
People in tenure lines are eligible to run for a regency.
Right, instructors in tenure lines.
Yes. But about 18% of our faculty are at the instructor level, and a lot of those are tenured faculty. They've been here for a long time. But because the way the legislation was written, and that was written prior to the time when there were a number of faculty on campuses at that level. So it's just a large number of, as I think to use a word that Patty had used many times, disenfranchised faculty, and so it was important to us because, nothing but support once we explained the issue. So it was not difficult to get it passed. It just took some time. And then the transfer bill. The transfer bill is an issue that came out of the governor's work group on higher education. They met for about several months last year. Pete McGurin is one of the co-chairs of the governor's work group on higher education. They discussed and held hearings on a number of issues, but out of that, the primary piece of legislation was this transfer bill. The intent is to make a transfer simpler from the KCTCS institutions to four-year institutions. We had a lot of work. Barbara Birch and I spent a lot of time on this bill early on, and really Dr. Birch's work was very helpful in making some improvements to this legislation from the House to the Senate. And at the end, we did get what I think is a good bill that is in line with everything that the academic officers at the different institutions across Kentucky have worked on, and Patty and I also worked on some faculty concerns with this bill, and so COSFL, the Faculty Association, also had some input, and so anyway, at the end, we have a good bill. It also has been signed into law. Dr. Ransdell attended the signing ceremony with Governor Beshear on both House Bill 160 and on Senate Bill 127. So there were a couple other small things that we worked on, but these were the main ones.
Thank you.
Anything else? Any questions? Yes, sir.
Do I understand correctly that outside of capital improvements, that state revenues only support about 25% of the work of this university? Is that correct?
24%. When you look at state appropriations as a percentage of our institutional budget, when I became president in 1997, it was 51%. We were getting about $65 million in state appropriations on a $130 million budget then. We're getting about $71 million in state appropriations now on a $360 million budget, again in round numbers.
I've got a couple comments.
Over the course of that period of time, I think we've had six budget reductions and nine budgets where we either broke even or had some additional money, but reductions have almost equaled the increases in appropriations over that period of time.
I've got a couple of comments and observations, so I'll keep them very brief. If you keep doing the same thing, you keep getting the same results, we got to find a better way to get it, a better result. But I know tuition is the third rail whenever we get into talking about raising tuition. Don't we need to be thinking reasonably long range, but not too far out, about variable rates of tuition depending on the cost of those programs to the university, such as nursing schools, engineering schools versus history department, and get away from tuition by the hour? And I think we could get some help with industry and various, you know, hospitals and things on these programs. Secondly, maybe we need to be leading CPE instead of them dragging us and telling us what to do. Because, you know, they don't have to sit here and run this university and make these budgets and get caught in that dynamic between the faculty and the improvements and all of these things, so we can control our own destiny. I know this requires planning, but I'd like to see us maybe sometime later this year, early next year, if we could, start working towards those goals and objectives, and so we can control our own destiny better.
You've been listening, and you've been sitting in some of our staff meetings, haven't you?
No, I haven't been to many of them. Patty won't let me go. I'm teasing.
Yeah, at this point, I mean, there was a time when the CPE leadership had designated tuition-setting policy to the university. And so we were, while the law says that it's designated to CPE, CPE had designated the fact to the institutions. Governor Ernie Fletcher's administration decided that was not appropriate. And so they actually are the ones who led the charge to put that tuition setting policy back at CPE. So, I mean, there is often some discussion back and forth about the role that CPE plays, but up until Ernie Fletcher's administration, we had been delegated or designated by CPE to set our own tuition, but that's been changed back again with that policy.
There are two ways I'd respond to your point, and you're absolutely right on target, no question about it. Pricing is critical in terms of our ability to address quality. And to ensure financial stability for us, again, about $150 million comes to this university a year in tuition. And our tuition has gone up a lot over the years, the last 12 and a half years. But so is our applicant pool, so is our enrollment, so is our quality. But the days that this board dealt with some mid-year tuition increases, that dealt with tuition from a strategic matter, it's a different dynamic now. As Robin has suggested, CPE has now taken that authority back, and it's just a different dynamic, and it's more political now. Tuition setting is more of a political dynamic now. The General Assembly has a little bit more interest.
Right, and the thing that we constantly battle against is we listen to the General Assembly kind of go back and forth about whether or not they should set tuition or whether they should freeze tuition. In a couple of sessions now, you know, there's been this kind of undertone that if we did this, then they might turn around and freeze our tuition. And so, I mean, we've had a lot of conversation with legislators about why that would be a bad idea. And although I don't really think leadership wants to go in that direction, I think every now and then when they see something in higher education that they don't agree with or they don't like or they think is frivolous, then they kind of bring that back out. And I mean, certainly our hope is the General Assembly will not get into the business of setting tuition, but for the moment, this is the process that we have.
I mean,
as part of the study of moving in that direction, what we need to do is make sure that we get as much help for these students meeting these increased tuitions as we can, i.e. private sector that would be probably glad to help educate their employees for especially specialties.
Well,
it's not that we're not going to make it tougher for students. We got to make it easier for students that belong here. Sometimes if you've got a fixed tuition, it's harder. It's even harder to raise the caliber of the student.
We just have limited authority on the tuition matter. But I'm going to touch on one thing where we do have some latitude. But suffice to say that at this university, our pricing has not affected accessibility. Our applicant pool has never been higher. Our enrollment has never been higher. To some degree, a student debt with loans is higher because of the numbers and the volume is higher. But the federal government and growth and Pell grants and a lot of dynamics that come into play in this whole discussion. And I think we're priced about right within our market right now. We do have latitude. This board has latitude on tuition for specific programs. We do have the latitude if we would choose to go to a per credit hour pricing strategy, which we do not have. We have a full-time, part-time strategy right now. The matter of per credit hour pricing is in discussion on some of the campuses. Morehead has gone to that. KCTCS has a per credit hour, and those are the only two right now. Northern has gone to that, Northern Kentucky University. So that's a bit of a movement. We're not in that line of thought at this point. Could be in the future. It's difficult to go to that structure in an environment or a climate of decline because there's a lot of dubiousness about, is that just a ploy to get more money out of students? Get into the political dynamic and it's not worth, the outcome is not worth the process of getting there, in my opinion. But we do have latitude to price individual disciplines differently if the market calls for it or suggests that you can do that without affecting your enrollment. We don't have to go back to CP to take a particular discipline that's very expensive. Nursing, you mentioned nursing, is an example, and one that we're actually considering having a differentiated tuition structure where it's a high-demand discipline and our applicant pool far exceeds the number of students we can accept into that discipline. So a differentiated pricing that allows you to sustain quality and maybe even grow your enrollment by increasing your tuition because you can pump it back into that program and add to your quality, add faculty that you cannot do with your tuition pricing as it currently is. A lot of dynamics come into play, and we're studying a lot of those options. And it very well could be that going forward, we do come back to you with some differentiated pricing by discipline, because the tuition that CPE will approve is that which affects all students, Kentucky residents and out-of-state residents. But we do have latitude on specific groups of students that are a minority of the student population from a quantity standpoint. So you're right online with your line of thought, and that's something that we're going to be giving thought to going forward.
And just to follow up on that, I wonder if maybe, obviously there's so much in flux right now, and I don't know what the picture's going to be by July, but we do have that working day scheduled in July, and one of the things we don't seem to have the gift of time in these board meetings, but maybe in July it would be a good time for everybody to sit down and, you know, have a working session where we talk about some of these philosophies and these scenarios so that everybody can really talk out the pros and cons, the implications, et cetera, instead of just waiting till an action item hits the agenda and then trying to hash it out. But I think it's something that maybe board members need to educate themselves on about if this, then this, and what are the pros and what are the cons in a place where we've got the gift of time.
Well, I would suggest that the summer retreat board meeting would probably be the better time and circumstance to do that because the June meeting. Now, that budget's got to be.
Yes, no, I said the July meeting. I thought I did. Yeah, July meeting. Yeah.
I thought you said June. I'm sorry. You're right.
I meant July. Yeah, make it a good, useful working session.
Yeah.
Secondly, I'd like to publicly thank Robin and her staff for the great work they've done to re-enfranchise faculty and for the great coalition work. The faculty leadership across the state, from the eight state universities, chief academic officers from the eight state universities, and governmental relations staffs from the eight have done fantastic work for faculty and for academic excellence this term. And that transfer bill could have been a real disaster, and it's been averted. And, you know, on behalf of the faculty, we thank you all. And this is how coalition politics at their best can work. So, great. Thank you.
The only other thing I'd like to say about the legislative session is you met Dale Brown a little earlier, and talking about some good cooperation and some work between the admin side and us on the government relations side. Dale actually spent a good bit of time in Frankfurt with us, and what you may not know about Dale is that Dale, having been a very active and engaged superintendent, is well-known and highly regarded in Frankfurt. And so he joined our legislative team this session and worked on a number of issues, particularly those education initiatives between K-12 and higher ed. And that was a great voice for us and a great way to have some involvement in those initiatives. And so I just want to thank Dale. I don't know if in his new role he's still going to do that with us again, but we met and make a lot of 5 a.m. departures. And then you met Jennifer Smith, also Jennifer Breela Smith, who works on my staff and is engaged in Frankfurt all year long. So I just wanted to publicly acknowledge both of them. And a lot of hard work, a lot of long hours, and except for the fact we didn't get a budget, we did.
And there are no capital projects in this budget, by the way. We didn't even mention that. But
there were on the House budget. There's the science building project gets $9 million on the House version of the budget.
Owensboro.
The initial one and the Owensboro building. But as they went through the process and they ratcheted down the number of projects, I think we lost both of those and they went to only Category 5 schools. So more than likely in a special session, we will not see any of the university funds survive, in my opinion. But again, that would be more useful if I had a crystal ball or a fly space in the leadership ring. But anyway.
Thank you, Rob. Mr. Chairman, as we close, I'm sending this sheet around to you to remind you what our Confucius Institute is. We're heading up to the library for lunch. The Hanban, which is the official Chinese government agency that manages the Confucius Institutes around the globe, has sent us a plaque, and they would like to have some photographs for their offices in Beijing of the unveiling of that plaque. And so we're going to have a little ceremony, and we're going to be in the space where the physical exploratorium, it's going to be called, of our Confucius Institute will be built into the library with Hanban money from the Chinese government over the course of the next several months, and that space should be completed by the end of April, by this time next year. But I wanted it might be helpful to be reminded of exactly what the Confucius Institute is as we go up to have that ceremony of the unveiling of that plaque that will be front and center in that space in the library, and we'll have lunch there. And then we'll proceed up to Van Meter to see that restoration project to the chapel. And then we'll walk back down through Earth Day, and you'll be able to be on your way.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
I would like to make one comment in light of the April 2nd day that we met and went through all the committee reports and the information that's reported today. And after the comments and the numbers that we've heard, I think it's not too far in the distant future that the General Assembly is going to have to start looking at the Commonwealth of Kentucky and the problems in a comprehensive manner. And basically, we've all read about the tax structure. We have a hodgepodge of taxes. We have no comprehensive or revised tax structure that's occurred with any sensibility or financial planning in 30 plus years. There was you may recall 15 years ago, there was a legislative paper done by a couple of members of the General Assembly who are no longer in service that called for comprehensive tax review and Reformation. So you know, we're in a poor, aging state, and we have a hodgepodge of taxes. We have every constituency wanting more services, but they don't want to pay more taxes, and we have the General Assembly that's looking at all the squeaking wheels, and higher education is one of them, secondary education is one of them. However, we're going to turn around in 20 years and be a declining state without doing something basic, so all the needs, including education, including social services, and business development, can be funded by the state. So my comment is, I think we've seriously got to start trying to get some of our graduates all over the state, from all the universities and private colleges. Some of the business people need to take over some of the spots in General Assembly. If you recall, I believe there has been a retirement benefit that was passed on early by the General Assembly this time. Yet, you know, teachers all over the state, employees of public universities and colleges are faced with low salaries and having to pay more of their benefits that they relied on as a lack of compensation in the past. So I think at some point, rather than a rally, there needs to be a grassroots
yes.
movement. And I don't have a way to do that in mind, but I think some leadership from spots around the state could get something moving on this. I mean, other states have done it. North Carolina did it 30 years ago, or 30 to 40 years ago. And, you know, we've got a lot of resources, and the public's more educated in Kentucky than ever. So maybe these are some topics that we can pursue and maybe get some expertise at our planning session from time to time on.
Well, that's well said, and I've long said that education in Kentucky should be the largest and biggest industry in Kentucky, and it's not. And we must do things toward that end, and that point is well made. And we get the right people involved in government, it would certainly eliminate this problem.
Make it a commonwealth again.
Mm-hmm. Commonwealth. Our report's completed.
And thank you, sir, and well done, by the way. Very smooth. We're going to retire here just in a second, but I do want you to just look at your agendas on the dates coming up, and I'll not go through and read those. You have them there, but just familiarize yourself with the dates that are coming up in the next several months. And of course, you'll have ample information on those, but those are there for you. And most of the time, they don't change, but every once in a while, they will. But anybody have anything else to bring before the board before we make a motion to adjourn? All right, thank you. Anything
and
else?
We go out and we board a bus right out front that will take us up to Helm Library.
Larry, you move, we move.
Can we move to adjourn?
Yeah, I'm asking you to move to adjourn. Yeah. Oh, go ahead, wait.
I'll move to adjourn.
We're moved.